Next few weeks, I want to take up this subject of fear. Fear, as we all know, is the opposite of faith. And God wants his people to live by faith. It says the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So as God's people, we want to please God. And we don't want to be living in fear. But there are many, many fears that people have in life. If you talk to most people, they will tell you that they fear something in life. There's something, some one thing that really terrifies them, that makes their heart race, or else makes their heart stop, but they have a fear. And I'm going to go through a few of the most common ones. These, according to Facebook, are the 10 most common fears. Some of them, I've heard of them all, but I didn't realize the names for them. Cynophobia. Does anybody know what that is? No. Cynophobia. It's a fear of dogs. I didn't know that either. The fear of dogs. And that's usually generated in children when they're young, when a dog maybe runs at them or barks at them. And the fear comes in at that stage, and they carry that throughout life. And it's something that's number 10 on the list of fears. Number 9, trypanophobia. And this is something which my eldest girl Lara had for years and still struggles a bit with. You know what that one is, Lara? Tyrannophobia, the fear of needles. The fear of needles. Glossophobia. This is something that I suffered with for years, but you wouldn't think it now. Glossophobia is whenever you're interacting in public, coming into a crowd of people or speaking in front of a crowd of people. And a lot of people, that just terrifies them. It used to terrify me. I still get butterflies when I come up here, but I can cope with it and I get on with it. Thanatophobia, and this is one that a lot of people, especially those who don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, struggle with. Anyone know what thanatophobia is? Death. It's a fear of death. And many people fear death, but you know, if you're saved, born again of the Spirit of God, we have nothing to fear. As Pastor Mike explained this morning, death does not mean that you're gone. Death does not mean that you don't exist anymore. It's just a separation from your body on this earth, but you will spend eternity somewhere, and the choice is ours, heaven or hell. And thank God that most of us here have chosen heaven, that we've chosen to live with Jesus because we've chosen him as our Lord and Savior. Colophobia, again, one I didn't know. It's the fear of clowns. That's number 6 on the list. Acrophobia. Fear of heights. Again, something which I used to have. Thankfully, I don't have any longer. Turomahanophobia. That's a fear of flying. Turomahanophobia. Fear of flying. I remember being on a flight. It's about 2 years ago now. And do you all remember seeing on television when they built the new bridge there up in Belfast on the motorway, and it flooded in underneath the bridge and there was a car trapped underneath the bridge? We were flying into Belfast that night. There was a thunder and lightning storm, and we were held in the stacking system for over an hour, and the plane was bouncing about all over the place. And there was a guy on the plane, and he was absolutely terrified of flying. And I had to get up and go from where I was sitting and go and sit beside this guy and hold his hand for an hour and just pray with him. And his knuckles was pure white. And he gripped that seat for grim death, and he kept his eyes closed. And I would say that guy never prayed as hard as what he prayed in that hour. An awful fear, and it's amazing to see how fear grips people. and just how simple things that sometimes a lot of us take for granted. Like, I would have no problems flying, but to that guy, that was a real fear. That was a real issue in his life. And you know, some of the other guys were making fun of him. We shouldn't make fun of someone in a situation like that, because to them it's very real. And it's something that we need to help people to overcome. Misophobia, something which they say is greatly on the rise. Big sales and bottles of sanitation stuff. It's the fear of germs. And you get that quite a lot today. Now, there are people who take it to real extremes and do not want to touch door handles with their bare hands and or go into toilets and stuff like that. But that's number three in the list. Claustrophobia is the fear of enclosed spaces. And again, quite a few people afraid of that. What do you think's number one on the list? Thunder? No, that's about 15. Spiders. Arachnophobia. The fear of spiders. And again, that's something that is very, very real to people. When we come home from holidays there, Yvette has a fear of spiders. Now, she's getting better at it. But it all depends on your perspective. And some people can look at things and it doesn't bother them, and other people look at things and it just throws them into complete chaos and panic. And we come home, there was a spider on our ceiling, and Yvette squealed to get the Hoover. Now, according to Yvette, this spider was this size. Now, that's bigger than a tarantula. So the time I got into the bedroom, the spider had fallen off the ceiling and was on top of the wardrobe. So I had to go and get a set of steps, had to get the Hoover and get up. And when I got up, the spider was this size. You see, I was looking at it from the steps down on it. Yvette was looking from a different perspective. She was looking up and it seemed enormous. And we'll talk about perspective later on again, because it depends on the way that we're looking at it, how we view a situation, how we view things, how that fear comes upon us. You know, there's one fear that some men have, and it's a fear of their wives. And there was this. I didn't look that one up. But there was this guy, and he had an awful fear of his wife. She ruled the roost. Whatever she said went. She was the one who wore the trousers in the house. And this guy, when he'd go into work, and everybody knew he was henpecked, and you know the abuse he would get, especially working on a building site, and the boys gave him dogs abuse about being henpecked. And they said, you need to sort this thing out. So this night, this boy had listened to enough in work, and he psyched himself all up, and he says, right, I am going to do it. Tonight I ain't going home. This woman of mine, she's going to hear from me. I'll sort this tonight. He goes into the house and he slams the door behind him. And he says, woman, where are you? He says, I want my tea on the table in 15 minutes. And he says, do you see, when you have that done, get up them stairs and run me a bath. And he says, and I tell you what's more, he says, who do you think is going to dress me and comb my hair when I get out of the bath? The wife says, the undertaker. All of us can have fears. All of us at some stage in our life will have experienced fear of some sort. Some of us may still have fears. Some of us may be going through situations that we fear. And all of us, as I say, at some stage will have experienced fear. Turn with me this evening to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, In such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called unto his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. We'll end the reading there. In this story, the king of Syria has come to war against Israel. And as he comes up to war against Israel, he brings all his generals together and he has a meeting, and they decide on the strategy and where they're going to make a stand and where they're going to attack the king of Israel. And it says not once nor twice his plans were thwarted, because God showed Elisha the prophet just exactly what his plans were. God told Elisha the very words that was spoken in these meetings, the things that this man was speaking, even in his own bedchamber, were being revealed to Elisha the prophet, and he was able to warn the king of Israel as to what was going to happen and where they would be lying in wait. And the king of the Assyrians, he was thinking, there's a traitor in the camp. Somebody's going and somebody's telling what's happening. And he inquires as to who this traitor is, but he's told, no, it's this man of God. This man of God is able to discern the things that you're saying in your own bedchamber, and he's able to tell and warn the king of Israel. Many of you realize that God thwarts the plans of your enemy. Nobody? Pastor Mike, does God thwart the plans of your enemy? Amen. Does God thwart the plans of your enemy? Yes. Amen. And you see, no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. And God already knows what plans is being proposed against us. And God's dealing with it already, because God has things in place to protect us. God's protection is round about us, and we'll look at that in a wee moment. But you see, the problem was this, that the king of Syria was coming up against God's people. And if God be for us, who can be against us? God's people were God's chosen people. If you're born again tonight, you're chosen of God. And God's protection is over your life. God's hand is on your life. That's why in the scripture it says 366 times, fear not. One for every day of the year, including leap year. Fear not. And God reminds us time and time again to fear not. And yet we look at a world around us that is so gripped and seized by fear. And unfortunately, in many cases, that fear has crept into God's people and crept into the church. And I want to deal with this subject over the next few weeks, and I want to see fears broken in people's lives, because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. God is able to break off every chain. We sang it there tonight. Break every chain. And God is able to break chains off people's lives. The bondage that holds you. And that's exactly what fear does. It holds you in bondage. Fear paralyzes the church of God if they're held in its grip. Fear holds us and stops us doing what God wants us to do. Here we have Elisha. He has discernment. He has the word of God. He gets this information from God himself. And as Elisha gets this information and passes it on, the king of Syria decides to do something about Elisha. And he sends a great army of chariots and of horses and, of course, soldiers to come up against Elisha. And Elisha's servant, he sees this. When he gets up the next morning to see this great army encamped against him, and he says, what are we going to do? Fear grips him. The reason I know fear grips him is because Elisha turns and says to him, fear not. There's those words again, fear not. And you see, Elisha's servant was looking at the situation. As he got up that morning and drew the curtains and looked out the window, and he didn't say, oh, it's a lovely sunny day. He goes, ah! Do you see who's out there? He's panicking. He's looking at a situation that he has no control over. And there's many of you who have looked at situations in your life that you have no control over, and fear has gripped you and seized you. And Elisha says, fear not. Why was Elisha able to say, fear not? Because Elisha knew his God. Elisha knew his God. And Elisha had a vision beyond the natural senses. And again, and I've said this before, we need to look in the spiritual realm. We need to see with spiritual eyes. We need to look beyond the natural processes of things and see what God's doing. Elisha says to him, fear not, for there's more with us than is with them. And I'm sure at that stage a servant looks at him and thinks, he's cuckoo. He's lost at this time. There's me and him, and look out the window. How many boys is out there surrounding us? And Elisha prays a simple prayer, and he says, God, open his eyes. And my prayer tonight is that God will open spiritual eyes, that God will move in hearts and lives, that you will see the hold that the Satan has is only a flimsy hold, because our God is greater. And our God surrounds us with his protection. What happened when this servant had his eyes opened? In verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Who do you think was riding these horses and these chariots of fire? The angels. God's army. God had an army protecting, and he was able to say, there's more of them than there is of the enemy. And you know something? The scripture tells me that when Satan fell as lightning from heaven, that he took a third of the angels with him. You know what that means? There's two-thirds still left, so Satan's outnumbered 2-1. Amen. And our God is greater this evening than anything that Satan can throw against us. What have we to fear? He was told, fear not. Psalm 34 and verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him." The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those who fear him. God has an angel, or angels encamp round about each one of us. Do you believe that tonight? Those angels are there for our protection. And I know people go into a whole doctrine and ministry about guardian angels. I don't want to go into that. All I need to know is they're there and they're protecting me, and God sent them for my protection. And God's hand is on my life. And if God's protecting me through his angels, I don't need to fear anything that the devil tries to do. I don't need to fear anything that the enemy tries to put on my life. I don't need to fear any situation that arises throughout the week in my life. Why? Because God's my protector. God's in control of my situation. God is the one who's taking care of me. And he has appointed his angels charge over me to watch and protect me. Talked about perspective. Elisha's servant looked and he saw this great army. And the first thing that happened with him was fear. Fear gripped him because he was looking with natural eyes. He was looking in the physical senses, and he just seen what was in front of him. And he seen the problem and he seen the issues. But the difference was with Elisha, he seen the thing with spiritual eyes. He seen things through a different perspective. You know, God really hit this home to me yesterday. I was out wrecking up leaves. We have an awful trees around our house, and every year for about 2 months I have to spend at least 2 or 3 hours once a week wrecking up leaves and gathering them up, and there's just barful after barful, and it has become, it's a real chore. I just don't like doing it, but it has to be done. But yesterday morning I went out to do it, and a couple of minutes later Reuben arrives out, all suited up, goes into the garage, gets a wee brush, gets his wee rake, and he's coming down, and he's raking and brushing and helping me, and he gets, there's a wee small wheelbarrow, and he has it, and he's working away with it, filling it in. And he's running about, and he's all excited, and he says to me, "Granda, aren't we having great fun?" And it just struck me straight away. That's a child's perspective. And it helped me to see that even though I hated doing it, had to be done, that I needed to start viewing things from a different perspective. I started to have fun with Reuben. And I enjoyed having the time playing with Reuben. And Reuben would fill his wheelbarrow and he'd be at the top of the drive, and we have to go right down the drive and in behind the wall to empty the wheelbarrows. And he'd be going down the drive and he'd be lifting handfuls out and he'd be making work for me because he's throwing the stuff out. And I'd say, "What do you have?" And he'd say, "Bar's too heavy." And I've just finished wrecking that up and he's just threw handfuls out again. But he was having fun. And then whenever I would get in behind the wall there's a few nettles and stuff, and Reuben was saying, "Granda, you be careful, you watch yourself. Don't you be getting hurt in there." You know, when he had a concern for me, and I was just thinking, it was just lovely to spend that time with him doing that, but it taught me to view things from a different perspective. And I believe as we look at situations in life, we don't need to be looking with natural eyes. See them from God's perspective. You know, sometimes we are on the ground like Yvette looking up at the ceiling. God's up there looking down. And God sees the whole thing. And he knows exactly what he's doing. And God knows that he has his angels encamped about us. And he says to his church tonight, "Fear not. Fear not." What have we to fear? Absolutely nothing. Not a thing. Because if we view things from God's perspective, then we will know that God is on our side and that everything will turn out fine. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Most Moses has led the children of Israel into the place where they're about to go into the promised land. Moses is 120 years old. God has instructed Moses that he won't take the children of Israel into the promised land because of his disobedience and striking the rock twice. And he commands him to set Joshua up as the head over the children of Israel, that he would be the one to lead them into the promised land. And if you look with me here in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7, Moses called unto him Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Moses gives Joshua instruction here, and he tells him to be strong and of a good courage. He knew the task that lay ahead of him, but he also knew this, that God was going to be with him. And you know, just as Moses spoke to Joshua and told him that God would be with him and that God would lead him and that God would guide him and that he'd never fail him and he'd never forsake him, you know, our God has promised us that he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. God's with us. No matter where we go, no matter where we are, God is with us. He never leaves us and he never forsakes us. He's told to be strong and of a good courage. And in verse 8, he's told again, fear not, neither be dismayed. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. That was Moses before he died. And he's given instruction to Joshua to go in and to take the promised land and to fear not. And in Joshua chapter 1, and we begin reading at verse 1, it says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Moses had instructed him to be strong and of a good courage and to fear not, and that God would be with them. And here we have God reiterating that promise to Joshua. And three times he speaks to Joshua and tells him to be strong and of a good courage. And he promises Joshua that he would be with him. And then finally he says, be not afraid, be not dismayed. See, God recognized that fear is a natural thing, that fear is something that can come on any man, and yet God speaks to him and God tells him three times, be strong and of a good courage. You know, I believe God's call on us as a church is to be strong and of a good courage. This morning, God gave a word to us that God was going to make us fruitful, that we were going to see great things, that we were going to come into the springtime, that we were going to see God move. In order for that to happen, we will face opposition. That's, I have no doubt of that in my mind. Anytime God moves, Satan will counteract it and try to do something in some way. The Bible warns us of that, tells us to be aware of the enemy, to be aware of what his plans and all the rest are. But I say it again, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Church, be strong and of a good courage and fear not. God is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. God's on the move. God's doing something here in Newry. And thank God we're part of that, that he's using us and that he's going to minister to this city through us. Joshua had the privilege of leading the children of Israel into the promised land. I don't know whether you've given it much thought or not, whether you believe it or not, but I encourage you tonight to believe it for this church, to believe it for yourselves, to believe it for your families. God has placed us in Newry City because this is our promised land for this time here on earth. And I know our final destination, our promised land, is heaven. But for now, we are here and we are to possess the land. Occupy till I come. Jesus said, occupy till I come. That was his instructions to his disciples. We are to occupy till Jesus comes. And in occupying, I just don't want to sit on my laurels and do nothing. I want to be in the midst of the battle. I want to see souls won. I want to see a move of God in this city. And I want to see Christ's name uplifted and upheld. And in order for me to be part of that, I need to be strong and of good courage and fear not. If we are going to do it as a church, we need to be strong of a good courage and fear not. Joshua had that within him. Caleb was another one who was of a different spirit. Fear can rob you of the things of God. This is now 40 years after God had first promised this land flowing with milk and honey. God had told them that he would give them the land of Canaan. They knew back then that there was giants in the land. They knew that God had promised to be with them and that God again was making a promise here that the land they were trod upon, he would give to them. He'd give them that promise 40 years previous. And they weren't able to enter in because of unbelief. 10 spies come back. You know the story how 12 spies were sent in. 10 spies come back with a false or a bad report. They said, there's giants in the land. We are as grasshoppers in our own eyes. And yet God had said, go in and possess the land. God had given them instruction. He knew the Anakims were there. He knew the giants were there. And yet God said, go in and possess the land. Because God had promised to go with them. And I believe God has promised to go with us here in Newry. We're to go in and possess the land. We're to go in and win souls for Christ. We're to go in and see people delivered. But you know, in order that we can do that, we first need deliverance ourselves. We need to fear not. Because when fear gets in, fear paralyzes the church. Just like it paralyzed God's chosen people, those 10 spies that went in, stood and spoke to a congregation of about 2 million people and influenced them and said, we can't do it. And you know what? They believed the 10 and they didn't believe Joshua and Caleb's report who said, with God we are able. Tonight, I want to say, whatever God calls us to in this city, we are well able because God's with us and it's God who will do it, not us. Just as Elisha stood against that whole army of God, and if you read the rest of that passage in 2 Kings 6, you'll see what happened. Elisha called down blindness upon that army, and they were blinded. And they didn't have to do any fighting. And the angels didn't even have to do the fighting. God put blindness on them, and they weren't able to do anything against Elisha. See, the fight belongs to God. And God's on our side. And God calls us to be strong and have good courage and to fear not. When fear comes upon a church, it can paralyze, it can grip, and can seize. And I know in my life, I have been in situations where fear has gripped me. You all know, or most of you know, that I had a fall from a ladder years ago, and I had a fear of heights for a while. But I remember on one occasion after that, being on top of a 4-inch wall, which was about 20 foot high, and I was walking along that wall, and I got to the middle of the wall, and on one side was the drop of 20 feet, on the other side was a barley pit with the ogre in it for drawing the barley up to be crushed. And I remember getting to the middle of that wall, and I looked down on one side, and I thought, if I fall here, I'm dead. And I looked down the other side, and there was only a couple of feet to fall into it, but I knew if I fell into the barley pit, that I'd get sucked down into the barley, and that I would suffocate in the barley. And fear seized me. I remember that day well. I remember just fear gripping my heart. And I stood on that wall, and I couldn't go back, and I couldn't go forward. And I ended up, I gradually got down onto my knees, and I got down onto my backside on the wall, and I edged my way back along the wall. And I remember thinking afterwards, where was your trust in God? Where was your trust in God? And on that occasion, I failed God because I didn't rely on Him. I looked at the situation and allowed fear to grip me, and it totally paralyzed me. I stood maybe a good 5 minutes on that wall before I even got down on my knees and crawled along that wall. Maybe it was stupidity that I got out there in the first place because I had a perfectly good ladder sitting in the corner and it was just laziness of getting down, walking around. But you know, fear can grip us. And that may seem a funny situation, but what happens when you're in a situation where one of your family and an opening comes and you have an opportunity to talk to them about Jesus? And fear suddenly grips you and says, you're going to make a fool of yourself if you open your mouth here. What happens if you're in a situation where you can pray for somebody for healing, or you can lay hands on somebody and pray for them in a situation they're going through, and fear grips you and say, no, don't be doing that. This mightn't work. This mightn't happen. That's the devil. That's fear paralyzing what God wants to do through His church. That's fear taking a grip on a person's life and stopping them, preventing them from doing what God wants them to do. And that's why God says we need to be strong and have a good courage and fear not. Because situations will come in our lives where the devil will try and put fear on us. And I'm going to look again, I haven't time tonight, we're going to look about giving the devil a foothold and about how fears come in. I want to look about how to deal with fears. I want to look at the fear of the Lord. That's a good fear. Not the fear that we're talking about tonight, but we'll explain more about that when we look at that. But what I want to say tonight, church, is this. God tells us in 2 Timothy 4 that He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if we have a spirit of fear, where has it come from? The devil. Hasn't come from God. If we have a spirit of fear, it comes from the devil. It hasn't come from God. And I, for one, don't want anything in my life that belongs to the devil. I want my life to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to live a life of power and of love and a sound mind. And by the way, that sound mind bit is something we'll look at again too, because I believe that people that suffer from dementia and all these different forms of things that affect the mind, that it is purely demonic. People will tell you all sorts of medical reasons for these things. It comes from the pit of hell. It can be broken through prayer. God changes things. I believe that we can pray into any situation and see God change things. Because if God has told me He has given me a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind, I ain't going to end up with dementia. That's not a sound mind. I trust and I believe God to do what He has promised to do, what He has said He has given me, and He has given me that spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Three times Joshua was encouraged to be strong and of a good courage. Sorry, that was 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. In Job 3 and verse 25, Job says these words. Job 3 and verse 25, he says, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." Going to look at that more next week. That's about giving the devil the foothold. That's about opening up our minds to the things of the devil and allowing fears to come in, and what effect that can have on our lives. Next week, I want to look at that. I want to look at Halloween, some of the things concerning that, and about fear and things that come in through Halloween. Things that we may think harmless, things that we may see that, no, there's no problems or issues with that. But I want to take the Word of God and I want to show how that as Christians, Halloween's something we stay clear of. Halloween's something that we don't celebrate in any shape or form because it's from the pit of hell itself. We are called to be set apart from the world. We're called to be different. Each one of us will face fears possibly again throughout this week. We have to decide what we are going to do with those fears. Are we going to allow the devil to come in and to rob us of what God has for us? Are we going to live by faith and recognize the fact that we have been made more than conquerors through Christ, that we have been made overcomers through Christ, and that any fear that the devil seeks upon our lives, that we can overcome those fears? And I'm not saying that the fear is not real. Fear is a very real thing. It's something that we do experience. But what I'm saying is this: God has given us the power to overcome those fears. God has placed His Spirit within us. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in us. And God has given us a power and authority over the enemy to trample him under our feet. If fear is coming on your life, don't take it. Don't allow it. Recognize where it's coming from. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus and say, no, I'm going to do what God wants me to do in this situation. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. And I'm going to go forward in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Bless you.